Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter, which is now available on Substack. Now, our guest today is Clifford Stevens. Clifford Stevens is a Zen master coming to us from Vienna, Austria. And in addition to being a Zen master, Clifford Stevens is the co-author of the wonderful book, Find the Seeker. And we've had Clifford Stevens before here on the Natural Healing Show. So he is a returning guest here to offer us great wisdom. And you can find out more about Clifford Stevens and his wonderful work. They have a Facebook group called Find the Seeker on Facebook. And his website is currently offline, but you can find him on Facebook at Find the Seeker. Welcome, Clifford Stevens.
Thank you, Kerrigan, for Catherine, for this opportunity.
So, Clifford Stevens, you are a Zen master. And you and I were joking before we started this recording that I would never be able to pronounce your Zen master name. So for our audience, will you pronounce and explain Zen master name?
My Zen master name is Qiichi Gong. Qiichi is Chinese. Gong is similar to Qigong, but the Chinese pronunciation is Gong. Yeah. And I asked my own Zen master, General Laoshi, once what the name means. It would probably take me 10 minutes or more to explain it in detail. It's a very, how shall we say, satirical name, because it means someone who has hit the bullseye, who has gotten to the point, who has realized the path. And I say it's a satirical name because, strictly speaking, in Zen, there is no path, there's no point to be made, and no bullseye. So when he explained it to me, he said, I made it because it's the perfect name for you.
Okay, now we're here today to empower everyone to experience more peace, more inner peace.
Yeah.
So Clifford Stevens, as a Zen master, in your humble opinion, what do you think people can do to promote peace in the world?
Well, you know, there's obviously there are things going on in the world which we cannot control. And a lot of things I think that just about everybody is unhappy about. And obviously on a regional, national, international level, we cannot, as individuals, probably stop different organizations or nations or governments from beginning conflicts or wars, as we see now. obviously, there are opportunities for people to take action. I think, you know, there have been so many books and podcasts about this, anything from forming groups, voting, demonstrating, influencing people's opinion, purchasing behavior, and so on. But this is only one aspect because, and I know that a lot of people are unhappy about this. The other aspect, of course, is what we do in our daily lives to promote peace. Peace begins with us. And we can, of course, promote peace in our relationships with family, friends, people in the community, and others. So there is a lot we can do, you know. I personally like I think it's called the Serenity Prayer. giving the serenity to accept what I cannot change, the courage to change what I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And this idea of acceptance is very important also in Zen, because it's accepting what is. And we like to say it is the way it is. Some people falsely interpret this as meaning we resign ourselves. And this is not the case, because accepting it is as it, the situation as it is, only means that we acknowledge it as what is in fact happening, or what is being. It doesn't mean we're happy about it. It doesn't mean we don't want to change it. It doesn't mean we agree with it. And so by maintaining, how shall we say, this inner serenity and this inner peace, we can more effectively do something to promote peace, both on a local level in our own sphere of influence, and of course also what for whatever means we may have at our disposal.
Now, Clifford Stevens, my understanding of life is that really the only way to be happy in life is to live by our true values. And for myself, as a medical intuitive healer, and as just a thoughtful person, I've done a lot of deep inner work to determine and understand what are my top values in life. And peace is actually one of my top values in life. And so I consciously choose peace wherever I go. I avoid conflict. One of the big things that I do is create a peaceful garden where, and being in my garden is, in my humble opinion, like being in heaven. I also have a regular prayer practice, a regular meditation practice, and I talk to my angels every day. And I really attempt to find peace in myself. Could you explain for our audience, as a Zen master, what is your understanding of peace? What exactly is peace?
Inner peace. Well, there's inner peace, obviously, which means a certain, first of all, a certain serenity within us, which, and this serenity gives us the ability to more effectively work, as we say in Zen, to relieve the suffering of others. And it's a key, one of the big advocates of this combination was the great Master Thich Nhat Hanh, who promoted a kind of, how should we say, socially responsible activism, you might call it. But it was based on practices like meditation and other practices which are not exclusive to Zen, but are also used in Zen. And these practices give people the composure and the serenity in which they go out, how should we say, into the outside world. And they themselves can show compassion to others without destroying themselves. And I remember in our seminars, and especially in our retreats with my own Zen master, people asked him this again and again. I see all the suffering, and it hurts me so much. And he said, "Feel, you know, the feeling, okay, as long as it doesn't inhibit you or destroy you." And he said, "You have to have enough inner peace and composure that you can be effective in your relationships, in your work, and of course, in, if you decide to do it, in making improvements, trying to improve the world or to make it a better place to live." So that is a key goal of inner peace. And by in Zen, for example, in through meditation, through the various tools, I call them tools, that we use, meditation, meditative walking. This is the skinhin, chanting, qigong, bowing, and so on. People can gain this serenity so that they can become a bit more of an observer and a bit more detached. I know a lot of people don't like this word detached. Detached in Zen does not mean you're indifferent. It only means that you do not allow the events of the outside world to destroy your inner peace. And you can cultivate this through the various, and of course, as I said, some of these things, as you've pointed out, are not exclusive to Zen. What Zen, the added value, and I think, I mean, there's someone asked my own Zen master this question, and he said, the universe is much too big for any one particular spiritual approach or for Zen to claim it's the only one. But one of the advantages of Zen is through meditation that if I can realize the fact that the one self in me and the one self in every other sentient being are one and the same, then there's an automatic thing that never leaves us, that everyone is in fact my sister or my brother. And this is not a thought or a feeling. Thoughts and feelings can change. But if you go down to a deeper level, then it's something that will never leave you. And that is, in fact, true peace when I can see everyone, as people like to say in Zen, as everyone is a Buddha. You know? And this Buddha doesn't mean that we're saying he is perfect or she is perfect. It just means that everyone has this Buddha nature. Of course, people have other names for it. Everyone has a divinity in them. It is the old, there are many different sayings about this. For example, the kingdom of God is within you. I used to practice a Hawaiian cleansing technique called Ho'oponopono. I still do sometimes. And there they said, well, where is your own paradise? In you. That's where the Shangri-La is. And so, in realizing this, there is no separation from other people. And the basis for conflict, for aggression, for conflict, for discrimination, for suppressing other people, for a lack of world peace, is we see other people as somehow different or inferior or whatever prejudice we might have. And so this practice helps us to avoid that.
I love that explanation. And as I was listening to you, I was wondering, as we're discussing what actually is peace, I came up with some synonyms. So
Okay.
another word for peace might be calmness, right?
Yes.
Another word for peace could be equanimity.
Right.
Another way to explain it could be inner coherence, right?
Okay.
Another synonym could be equilibrium.
Okay.
Another synonym could be alignment with the divine. So really knowing and experiencing that everything that's happening is in divine order. Another way of expressing it could be absence of conflict, which I think a lot of us are wanting to avoid. And another way of expressing it is oneness, is again feeling at one with all that is. Now, Clifford Stevens, you are a Zen master. What exactly is Zen? Can you explain that for our audience?
Strictly speaking, Zen is only a name or a concept. And in today's world, Zen means a lot of different things to different people. Zen is not has never been a homogeneous mass. There are, as I hear, Zen practitioners in Asia who complain about how Zen is being practiced in the West, for example. And for example, I've heard complaints that the people in the West spend too much time on, how shall we say, well-being or wellness, and not about the actual goals of Zen. I don't agree. I've seen a little of it. I don't agree with this criticism, but Zen has been something which has adapted itself to different societies, different countries, and different eras, of course. And you see this, and there's many, many examples of this. So there are, for example, two main schools, if you want to call it like that, of Zen, the Soto school and the Rinzai school. The way the there's a certain, how shall we say, strictly speaking, within in Japan and China, there is a kind of certain hierarchy in terms of how high you may advance, if you want to hold a certain position, and everything from a Zen teacher, who is in America, Zen teachers and priests, Zen master, there are Zen monks and Zen abbots. So what I'm saying is that Zen means many things to different people. But I think what is Zen? I mean, Zen is, it's easier perhaps to say what Zen is not, but Zen is not a formal religion like we say Christianity, because there's no institution behind it. There may be Zen organizations, there may be some Zen temples, but actually it doesn't have this institution. But it is something that unites all religions, or could unite all religions, because the emphasis in Zen is, I'm going to put it very simply, because if I was teaching a course, I would probably, this alone would take me an hour to explain, is to find out the question, who you are. And that is the question. And so that is why we named the book Find the Seeker. Who is the person that is seeking God or divinity or happiness or serenity or whatever you call it? And there are, of course, answers to it. And of course, today with internet, you can look everything up on Google. But the emphasis is not on an intellectual
Yes.
understanding, is for going down deep into this, whatever you want to call it, this divine, this oneness, this kingdom of God in us, and realizing it yourself. Yeah. And that is why in Zen, we say, there are thousands upon thousands of teachers, scriptures, books, podcasts, seminars going on all the time, And if you wanted to start reading on Zen, it would take you hundreds of years probably to read everything. But we say, of course, that all these things may, at best, they're signposts. There's the old Zen expression, maybe they can point to the moon, but it's not the moon itself. It's not the
Yes.
truth itself, And as Lao Tzu said in the Tao Te Ching, anything which supposedly describes the absolute is not cannot be the absolute itself.
No, Clifford Stevens. So
Yes, yeah.
I'm a Christian, and in addition to my regular Christian religious practice, for many years here in Atlanta, I attended a Zen meditation center where I
Okay.
would meditate every week in the Zen style. And at that time, it was very interesting because we would do roughly about 20, 25 minutes of seated meditation, followed by about 5 to 10 minutes of walking meditation, followed by a second round of seated meditation. And that was the Zen practice. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from our commercial co sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author, and we're listening to Zen master Clifford Stevens talk about what you can do to promote peace here on Earth. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
The station that makes you feel good.
So, Clifford Stevens, as I mentioned, I'm a Christian, but for many years I attended a Zen meditation center here in Atlanta. And the reason I went is I was going through a period of extreme stress in my life. And what I would notice is on the days after I would go to the meditations, the Zen meditation, I would feel much calmer, much happier, and much more at peace. How can Zen, the practice of Zen, empower us to experience more inner peace?
Catherine, it's you know, the Zen meditation, which they call Shinkantaza, means basically sitting without intention. I haven't kept count, but for example, the Master Osho, he himself once counted 110 different forms of meditation. In the meantime, I've seen so many more. So perhaps it is safe to say there are hundreds of different kinds. The Zen meditation is unintentional, without a specific goal, because the basic idea behind it is you are what you seek, and this is your natural state, which means basically that you simply, you don't have a goal because you already are that, okay? And also because in comparison to many other schools, many other methods, Zen does not, even though you can gain a lot from Zen, Zen does not primarily focus on the benefits, you know? And a true, how shall we say, a dedicated Zen priest or teacher or Zen master is not going to tell people, if you do ABC, you're definitely going to have these and these benefits. The meditation, of course, is one of the ways that Zen can help you to calm yourself. Because in the beginning, you focus on your breathing. And people who've done meditation know that if you focus on your breath, on focus on the inhaling or exhaling or counting, this in itself is very relaxing. And there's no, how should we say, there's no person who there's nothing in you that dominates that says, I must try at all costs to get rid of my thoughts. And Zen is very gentle because it says, as soon as you think, gently take yourself back. Yeah, until you're centered again. Maybe hard in the beginning. So meditation is one way. And we should not forget in Zen that meditation is not only sitting meditation. There is, of course, the method of walking meditation, this Kinhin, where you walk and you try to, how shall we say, realize your steps, focus on your steps, on your breathing, on your interaction with the world, with nature. But there's nothing, and it helps us also because we realize that we can meditate almost anywhere and almost everywhere through practicing our breathing, through focusing on what we are. This and it helps us to become more centered. We see that in focusing on the breath and on being centered, this can calm us down, you know? And there are different methods of breathing exercises, but in a sense, you can use Zen also as a breathing exercise. In the same way, the walking meditation, of course, in the walking meditation, there's a certain method, if you want to put it this way, how you walk steps, you don't run. But there's nothing preventing us from doing a walking meditation outside. We don't have to walk with our hands folded and very slowly. We can walk normally. But if you look, for example, at the books of Thich Nhat Hanh, he sometimes did the walking meditation at a normal walking speed to show people, hey, we can do this everywhere.
Yes. Now, Clifton Stevens, I love that you talk about how we can meditate everywhere. This past week, I had jury duty, and I had to sit in the Atlanta courthouse for literally 4 hours doing absolutely nothing. So, of course, I read the news on my phone and, you know, for a period of time. And then I sat and meditated, and I just shut my eyes, listened to the sound of my breath, and experience the energy that I am. And sitting, breathing, and experiencing my own energy, I did feel greatly at peace. Even though I didn't know how long I was going to be there, whether I was going to be picked for a jury, what kind of jury I would be picked for, and so on. Now, so far in this discussion, we talked about the peace that individuals can experience as a result of a meditation practice and or Zen practice. So we're talking also today about that bigger picture of world peace. So what can an in your opinion, as a Zen master, what can I as an individual, or you as an individual, or any of our listeners as an individual, what can each of us do to contribute to peace on earth?
Well, we mentioned this before, obviously, the more centered and peaceful we are, how shall we say, the more, I'm going to say this word very carefully, the more positive an influence we can have on other people. And this itself contributes more. It's and by being centered and being a bit more detached, we do not take everything that happens in the world as something that necessarily destroys our serenity or destroys our own inner peace. This gives us a tremendous amount of potential. And in Zen we say, because you mentioned it about in the courtroom, in Zen they used to say, you can meditate either, which of course everyone loves, in a quiet room, maybe with an altar in front of you or in a mountain pasture. But at the same time, you should have this peace. They used to say in the marketplace at that time, meaning in a busy, in the hustle and bustle of a big city. So, for example, when I used to teach meditation, after the first couple of times, I opened up the window so they'd hear the noises to say, you are not dependent, your inner peace is not dependent on the preventing noise or disturbances from coming. You're independent, your inner peace depends on your own practice. So there is a lot we can do, and at the same time, the more serenity and the more composure I have, the easier it is for me to make, how shall we say, Thich Nhat Hanh's basis, kind, serene, positive decisions which affect people, in which I don't focus on my, how shall we say, because in meditating, when we do Qigong, we used to say the idea is to get away from your head, where's the ego, the intellect, your thoughts, and go more into your center. And by being more into your center, you are acting, ideally, less egoistically, because your whole focus is not on your ego, on your mind, but on being centered. So, there are many different methods, the same like mindfulness. Mindfulness has become a big movement. In fact, there's one famous saying where they asked the Zen master, what are the three things I should do? And he said three times, mindfulness. So, and this way of being mindful, I like to say, I mean, some mindful for me is being, also means being caring and respectful. And there are many other adjectives you can use to this. And it means we're not focusing on what I can get or my benefit, but on our benefit. So what Zen, and as I said, these methods are not exclusive to Zen, but what it does is it says there's not you and I, there's only us.
Us.
Yeah. Or if you want to put it this way, the oneness, this the one self, or whatever name you give to us, but there's not a separation anymore. So this alone helps us to contribute to world peace on an individual level.
Yes. Now, Clifford Stevens, I'd like to talk about it from the point of view of physics. Now, it's a law of physics that anytime there's a vertical electrical current, and if I stand up or you stand up, or if our listener, if you're standing up, you're vertical. There's a magnetic field perpendicular to that. Okay. Now, New Agey people call that your aura. Okay. But it's definitely your energy field, right? Now, if my energy field is chaotic or full of anger or fear or revenge or resentment or pride, then that is the frequency, that is the energy that I'm sharing with literally everybody around me. But on the other hand, if I'm in a state of inner peace, if I'm calm, if I.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I found my own inner equilibrium. If I found the coherence in myself, if I'm in alignment with my with the divine, if I have let go of conflicts, if I feel that oneness with all that is, then that is the frequency that I'm sharing with everyone around me.
Exactly.
And we have to understand also from a from the law of physics, laws of physics, that living systems synchronize to the strongest biological oscillator. So I'll say that again. Living systems, and we're all alive. You're alive, I'm alive. You're listening. If you're listening, you're alive. You synchronize and you resonate with the strongest biological oscillator. So someone, an individual who is in a state of deep inner peace provides an energy field so that everybody around you has the opportunity to synchronize and literally match in their own frequency that feeling of inner peace. And I have a personal story to illustrate this, which is actually very funny. So years ago, and I've taught yoga now, this is my 33rd year teaching yoga. So years ago, I went to California, I went to the White Lotus Foundation, and I did yoga and meditation for about 10 days. And anyway, after, you know, 10 days of, you know, yoga and meditation in this beautiful setting, then I go to the airport. And as soon as I got there, I found out my plane was very delayed. And by very delayed, it looked like I wasn't going to arrive home to the Atlanta airport till about 2 a.m. So I was very upset about this. And I remember even laughing at myself. It's like 10 days of inner peace and you go to the airport and it's gone in a flash. So immediately I went into what I refer to as cookie therapy. So I bought a big cookie. And I was sitting on the ground eating my cookie, feeling very sorry for myself, worried about, you know, how am I going to handle getting home at 2 a.m. because I had clients the next morning beginning at 6 a.m. So I was very worried, how am I going to do this? Well, anyway, all of a sudden, this man came over and started talking to me. And first we started talking about cats, my cat, his cat. You know, everybody everywhere can talk about cats. We all have opinions and stories about cats. And then it comes up to find, I come to find out that he was a meditation teacher. And I asked him, I said, well, how many hours a day do you meditate? And he said, well, I you know, only about 5 hours a day.
Okay.
And I was younger at the time and, you know, really kind of a jerk when I asked this question. I said, I remember asking him, I said, do you ever feel guilty that you're not doing anything? I find this very funny, but just by being around him, I immediately calmed down. And when it came time for us to get on the airplane, I was very sad because he was going to be in a different part of the airplane that I was, because just being around him, you know, all my fear and anxiety and inner chaos went away, and I was able to find my peace just being around him. And that's a really good example of what happens when we find the peace within ourselves and then we get to contribute that to everybody around us. So Clifford Stevens, as a Zen master, and I know that part of your practice is humility, what have you observed about the effects of Zen and Zen practice on people around you or around communities around you?
Thank you for your question. I'm very happy you've been a yoga teacher. I used to be an advanced yoga pupil, but I've done Qigong for many years. At the moment, I don't do too much. And my Zen master was a Qigong teacher. And actually, with the story, I can identify with your story because many years ago, there was a book, I think it was called the Celestine Prophecy. And it had a very similar theory to this. And I said, wow, I'd like to have this inner peace so that the negative vibrations and energy of other people don't affect me, which is one of the reasons, actually, I started, one of the many reasons I started my study of Zen. And the thing is that Zen teaches us a great deal of humility. And the reason for this is there are two reasons for this. One is we know that we learn that the center of the universe is not the little I, whatever his name is, Cliff or Catherine or Maria or whatever the name is. And we realize that we are not the doers, And in fact, that the real, the only, I don't even want to call it doer, but we're not the creators. And our time on Earth is very limited. And if you go deep down and you know that this I, this egoistic I, which we identify with, is not your real self, that immediately gives us a tremendous humility. Okay? The thing with, and this, of course, can be something which is very positive. I found out I've had the privilege of meeting, spending time with a few other masses of different religious paths. Each of them, I mean, one of them had ex showed exactly the same characteristics as you described as the man on the plane. But what I found from my own Zen master, from my own experience, is that you can. I mean, it's not our primary aim to, how shall we say, develop this positive energy that people can feel through their vibrations, because Zen is not something that you, I mean. It's very interesting that there are rules. Obviously, there are rules for Zen teachers and masters who work in a monastery, for example, or in a Zen institute. But in their daily life, there are hardly any rules, which is very interesting because most of you, a very many religious paths are full of rules. And I found that there are people who are receptive, and it doesn't come perhaps because I may exhibit this energy, but it comes through our interaction and the way I deal with people that some respond to this and will say, how can you be so calm? Or I'd like to find out more about this, or what do you mean by this? And telling people that they don't have to take things so personally or so tragically. So it can, in fact, Zen of course can make a big contribution.
So Clifford Stevens, as a Zen monk and a Zen master, what is the one thing that you wish people understood about peace?
At the core of each person is peace. You can give other names to it, the oneness, the suchness, the oneself, beingness, whatever name you give to it, that is peace. But peace, not necessarily in the way that we define it, because we cannot define, we can try to describe the attributes or the qualities of oneness or suchness, but really define it and pinpoint it is something we cannot do in words. And there is an experience in Zen called Kensho, which is basically where the Zen master recognizes the first time that you have had, how shall we say, a deeper insight into this beingness or this suchness, whatever you name you give to it. And you realize, one realizes with this first Kensho that it's unlike anything you thought of or imagined before that, And for me, it was an interesting experience because I had this Kensho, and the Zen master gives you a little, I think they call it a singing bowl, And I got this little singing bowl, and I must have given a tiny smile. And the Zen master looked at me very sternly and said, "Well, don't let it get to your head." So, which was a perfect answer. And then he said, "Don't think you've accomplished anything." And this, in fact, is, there's a very famous Zen story, if I may have just 1 minute for this, about a Zen master who was seeking a successor in a monastery. And I'm going to tell a simple version of this. And everyone thought this one monk in the monastery was the natural successor. He knew all the scriptures, all the rituals, all the meditation techniques. Everyone thought he was the perfect candidate. And the Zen master asked him, well, practically, whether he thought he might be my successor. And he said, "Well, I've been studying here for 10 years. I think I've got it." And the Zen master said, "Well, in this case, I think you're going to have to study another 10 years." He did not understand what Zen is about. And by the way, the interesting thing is that much in Zen is very similar to what mystics in many other religions have discovered for themselves, And if I may just, or famous teachers, getting away from the ego. Socrates said, "I know, I don't know." One of the smartest people who supposedly ever lived said, "I know, I don't know." Or whom I absolutely love, the Persian poet Rumi, who said, who found that at the end of life, "I always thought that the wave was one with the ocean. And now I realize the ocean is one with the wave." That is so beautiful. And you can find this in the statements of many mystics. So, some people like to say, well, the Zen people think this. And you can find in many other religious, many other religions and many other spiritual paths, something very similar to Zen. It's within us.
Yes, and I think another way of putting that is that we're talking about beingness, not thinkingness.
It's one way to put it, yes.
Yes, and final question, Clifford Stevens, if you could give three words that would describe your own experience of peace, what would it be?
Before I answer that, there is a Zen story in which a Zen master was asked something like this, and then he stayed silent. Because you cannot, I will not do this, because you cannot describe this in words. By the way, I would hope that there's no one here and nobody here, we capitalize it with a capital N, and nobody here would ever make a claim that we have advanced more than anything else or we have achieved this. One has to be very careful here.
Stevens, you've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. Clifford Stevens is a Zen master and co-author of Find the Seeker. And you can find out more about his wonderful work on his Facebook page, Find the Seeker. And remember, when you drop into the energy of who you are and find the stillness within, you create an energy field of peace around which and to which everyone around you can resonate. And in that way, you can contribute to the peace on earth in your own powerful way. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.